Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
There's more important things at play here, and the Palestinian people who are being murdered and dehomed and everything below murder are the loser in this.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, myself and Eve are delighted to be joined by David Fitzgerald, photographer with Sportsfile, who is just back from Milano Cortina. David, how are you?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for having me. Cool to be here.
We were discussing all week the Winter Olympics and the really niche sports that people get into, but you got up close and personal with it all over there. What was it like heading over?
It was unbelievable. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, it's funny, like, because I would have thought I had good, like, experience with fast sports, like with hurling and stuff, and covering so much of that here. But when I went to the luge and them sort of things, it was like hurling was like covering chess, like, compared to it. Like, and I remember when I went to the luge first, like, we went to like a training session on the first day. I was so buzzing to go there, like, and I was waiting. I had the camera and all set up, like, and they came down like 120 kilometers an hour. And he just went straight past me, and I was just like, what? Like, couldn't even take a photo at all. Like,
were you expecting that?
No, not the speed, like, that they came down at all. Like, I knew they went fast, obviously, but, like, it was insane, like, the speeds that they were going. Even the alpine skiing, like, 140 kilometres an hour and stuff, like, so it was so hard to photograph, like, but it was really good, like.
So was this the first time you were covering a Winter Olympics?
Yeah, first time, yeah, so... That was great, like, because I've done Paralympics now, Paris Olympics, and now Winter Olympics, so I've kind of completed the set, like, so I'm delighted, like, to do them all.
And so when you arrived over there, were you surprised at how it was set up? You were saying off air that the actual Olympics itself this year was really spread out.
Yeah, like, we went over, so I was with Team Ireland, like, so we went over a week before, and we were doing, we did, like, photo shoots and stuff all around Bolzano. So it was good to be there, get to meet the team and all that sort of stuff. But it was like, before we went over, like, we obviously knew there was Cortina and Bormio, but I'd kind of Google mapped it, like, and it was like 4.5 hours, say, across from Bormio to Cortina. And I was like, oh, that's grand. Like, because when you go to the Olympics, like, say, you take Paris, for example, there's like media buses and they're unbelievable. Like, they're always perfectly on time. And, like, there's, like, one, say, every 2 minutes. So I was like, oh, they'll definitely put media buses on here and they'll go across. Well, when they got there, like, I'd obviously Google mapped it in summer. And,
oh,
like,
oh, no.
Yeah. So it was, like, going over the Alps when there was, like, snowstorms. So you couldn't go that way. Like, and they had no buses. So it was either drive or public transport. But the problem with driving was, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll rent a car. But then they had this thing called a VAP. And it was like you had to pay $3,500 to put this thing on your car. But so the police would stop you like an hour away from Cortina or Bormio or Livigno. And if you didn't have the VAP, they'd turn you away.
And was it only people involved in the Olympics could get that?
You could buy it, like, yeah. So like you had to spend $3,500 like to get this thing on your car.
So was it public transport all the way for you? So
no, well, like, not really. So I had to, like, just beg lifts off people. And it was actually Cormac that hooked me up. And Cormac's in, like, this collective in Austria of, like, small nations who all ski together. Do you know, because, like, Ireland don't have many and there might be other small nations. So they all help each other out, I think, with, like, physios and coaches. And
okay.
That's, yeah, so it's really good. Like, But he hooked me up with his coach over there, who was called Gareth. He drove me from, I was in Cortina, and he was saying, I was asking Cormac, I was like, man, I actually don't know, like, I have to do your event on the Saturday, and then I have to get back to Thomas on the Sunday. But whenever you mapped it in public transport, it was like 16 hours. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm just going to have to travel throughout the night. Like, I was just well prepared for it. I was like, I just have to do it, like, because I had to be there. And we went up and we got Cormac training one of the days, like, say, a week before that. And I was talking to him. I was like, man, I'm stuck here. Like, I have to go. And he was like, oh, Gareth might be driving from, I'm forgetting all of this, it's Cortina to Bormio. And Bormio was right beside Livigno. That was for the opening ceremony. So I got a lift off him, which is 7 hours, which is great.
Is but that then, all through mountains now as well?
Yeah, yeah. Like crazy drives, like beautiful, like, but like you're so, like, you're in the car for so long, you're not even looking at it. Like, you get some screen time up on the phone, like.
Yeah.
And so I got a lift off him for 7 hours. He dropped me in Bormio, got to do the opening ceremony. And then he was like, look, I know a few lads, a couple of athletes from Guinea.
They famous might, for the Winter Olympics,
yeah, yeah. So they might be driving up to Austria after. They could drop you in Austria and then you could get a train or something. And
oh,
I said, right, grand. So went and got Cormac anyway, which was like you had to like hike up a mountain, but this is even to get like, I didn't even go like anywhere high up the mountain, but even to get to like the last gate, do you know where to go around the gates, even to get to that was like a proper hike.
And you've all your gear with you as well.
Yeah, all the gear. But I had like the, so what do you call them? The wee spikes on the shoes and stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I thought I was like, yeah. I was well prepared. Like I was actually roasting too. Like, so I was sweating.
God, that, because that's what I was going to ask. It was like when you're, because you probably have to stay in the same place for so long. Mm-hmm. Would you be freezing?
Not really. When the sun's out, like, you're all right. You get a bit of a tan and all, like, you know.
I wasn't expecting to have to ask photographers about their training regime for the Winter Olympics. But that sounds very intense.
Yeah. I wasn't doing any hill walks. I probably should have done a few more, like, but no, it was grand, like, but it took a while to get up. But the thing was getting back down. So you had to walk back down. You're falling over and all with the lenses and stuff. But
nothing broke?
No, it was all good. But so he'd hooked me up with these lads from Guinea. And after he competed, I ran back down and they started ringing me then. Like, they were like, come on. So I ran out to where they were, jumped in the car with them, started like editing the photos in the back of the car and stuff.
On the mountainside.
On the mountainside. And then they actually went to go through this tunnel where you needed the VAP thing I was talking about. He didn't have one.
Oh, no.
And we got there like 5 minutes. So they kept it open, but they closed it during like whatever time it was, between like 2 and 7. And we just missed it by like 5 minutes. So we drove like an hour in the wrong direction for no reason.
Oh.
And then, so like, anyway, 7 hours in the car with them. They dropped me in Innsbruck, then jumped on a train from Innsbruck to Bolzano. And then I had to get Heather from, you know, Team Ireland.
Yeah.
Heather. And she drove out, picked me up. Brought me to her apartment, slept on the sofa, and then straight up the next day for Thomas. Like,
and how many pictures did you get from that? Like, all of that travel
of Cormac, I got 4. Yeah, and the lad, I think it was like the lad 2 before Cormac, who was like a Norwegian, who are like unreal at skiing. He fell at the top, so I was like, oh man, I've gone like 10 hours now. Not saying Cormac's gonna fall, like, but he could have, like. So I was like, we could have went like 10 hours. He could fall at the top and I just don't get a photo.
Yeah. It seems kind of insane that you do all this traveling and kind of beg, borrowing and stealing lifts for something that seems like so small, like 4 photos seems very small, but would that be common?
Yeah, definitely at them sort of things. Like, it's just, I suppose, like, it's only 1 photo that you need, isn't it? Like, and, you know, it can be real epic, like, I suppose, even if you think about the Lindsey Vonn photo.
Yes.
So no, just 1 photo. And they weren't up there. They were only up there to get like an RD photo. So no, that was no, they didn't think that would happen. Like, and then they end up getting this photo that's just like kind of going around the world and is really, really big and stuff.
So do you have any plan when you go out, especially, you know, if you go out doing hurling or football, you probably know what to expect. You know, if there's a high ball coming into the square, this could be a good action shot. But when you've no idea really of the sport, are you going out kind of winging it, like taking the luge or the skeleton?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you take the practices with the athletes as your own practice?
Yeah, a little bit of that. And you try to get like to the venue way before, but it's quite hard, obviously, with all the traveling. So you can kind of scope out the areas, like, and see where can I stand, where can't I stand. And like for luge, for example, you obviously had the big mountain. So like, where can I get that shot from? And you'd nearly be looking at like other photographers' work who have been there already.
Yeah.
And seeing, right, there's that way. Can I take a different angle on it? You don't want to do the exact same, like, but you want to do it a bit different. But yeah, you're definitely winging it, like, and you're nearly like, sometimes like you're nearly hoping maybe like, there's lads who do that for their full-time job. You're nearly hoping that maybe they might give you a wee bit of a hand. Like, and there was at the Alpine skiing, there was a guy who actually, I was just randomly standing beside him, some American guy from California, but he loved Ireland. Like,
okay.
Do you know, like,
classic.
Do you know, like, yeah, yeah. You know, like one of them, he thought he was Irish kind of thing. So he saw I was wearing the Ireland gear and he was like, oh, Ireland. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, come here, I don't really do this much. And he was like, right, they're going to come down there. And that was lovely. Like, and he really helped me out. Like, so.
Because we were saying, like, it gripped everyone at home, I think, more than usual, because the content coming back was so good. And do you think that's why maybe people were a bit more generous? Because they're like, the more people we have out here, the more people are going to see these games as opposed to, like, the summer games.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think it's so cool that it's getting so big. I think even the Summer Olympics, like, in Paris, like, it was like everyone watched that. I don't remember that really happening before.
Yeah, what was so handy for Paris and now for Milano Cortina for us is it being in the same time zone.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, obviously for you being there, you're kind of right in the middle of the action. But for us here, it was constantly on the television.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this kind of stream at the back of our days for 2 weeks' time. And it feels like for me that this is the biggest Winter Olympics of my lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. Same. Yeah, I actually never even watched it before. I'd obviously seen, like, clips of, like, snowboarding or whatever, but I never actually watched it before. So it is, it's great that it, like, everyone sees it at home and then you have a photo of it, you know, like, feels like more, makes it like the photo better or something, because people kind of care about it a bit more. Like,
what was your favorite photo that you got from this year's games?
It would have to be either ski jumping or luge. The luge with the mountain in the background, I would say.
That's
it. Yeah, that was class. It was the Milano Cortina. And then the mountain in the background was sick.
How did you adapt? Because earlier you were saying that, you know, you missed it because it was so quick. Yeah. How did you get that?
Just after a few goes, like, you'll get the timing down and you realize that, like, you have to shoot at a ridiculously high shutter speed. Like, from a technical standpoint, like, it's like 4/1000th of a second, which actually the only athlete I used that for, which is quite interesting, the only athlete I used that for, that shutter speed, was Simone Biles at the Olympics. Because she spun so fast at like 2/1000th of a second, she was out of focus, which is unheard of. Like, that's really fast. Like, so yeah, for her and for this, everything was at like 4/1000th of a second. Like,
so
which is crazy.
For example, what would you shoot a sprinter, like a 100-meter sprinter? What would that be shot at?
2000.
So it's double that.
Yeah, double that. Yeah.
And what would hurling be?
2000. Like, yeah, 2000.
Wow.
So did you get a chance? Obviously, we don't really have any Irish luge athletes this year. So did you get a chance to kind of say, okay, I really want to go and photograph this event? How did you decide where you wanted to go when the Irish athletes weren't there?
So it was kind of just of where you were. So I was in Cortina, so the ones near me at the time were curling and luge. So I could walk up to them and spend basically like as much time as I wanted.
Yeah.
And it's good, like, if the Irish aren't in it, there's a certain element of, like, I don't really care if I miss Latvia coming down, like, you know. I can kind of test a few things and do a few weird things and then go, actually, yeah, that's cool, that works.
Yeah.
And so from that point of view, but I went to the curling, say, on the Thursday, and then on the Friday I was like, I'll go curling Thursday, I'll go Friday, I'll go to luge. And this seems to happen to me every time. Like, it happened to me in Paris. Whichever event I go to, the day after, Snoop Dogg goes to it. And so I went on the Thursday to curling and Snoop Dogg was there the next day and I was up in luge. It was only like a 10-minute walk away. I was raging, like, and it happened in Paris. Like, you know, the horse, you know, he was at the equestrian.
Yeah.
The day before, he was there the next day. And then swimming, everything just kept happening. So
you'll have to go to LA and just kind of stalk him for the next
Definitely.
Olympics.
And remember they promised that he was going to be at the closing ceremony? So we went to the closing ceremony in Paris and they were like, yep, Snoop Dogg's going to be there, Tom Cruise, abseiling in, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I didn't really care about Tom Cruise, I cared about Snoop Dogg. And they came, you heard him like singing and then he just came on the screen and they were on like Miami Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, it's a live feed. Missed him again. Like,
what would the main difference be between photographing the summer and the winter games?
The summer ones was really good because you could go to like three events in one day.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you could do like swimming, then go to gymnastics and then boxing, say at nighttime or whatever. But this one, it was like, you couldn't, like, once you were in one, you couldn't really get to the other one.
Yeah.
So you just had to stay there at it, which was grand, like, but like, yeah, I like that about the summer one where you could do three different things in one day. I thought that was quite exciting. Like,
do you have a favorite picture from the most recent Summer Olympics?
Yeah, probably.
We had so much success there, yeah, you know, comparatively to the winter ones.
I have a good photo of Reese kind of crying with his medal and his like holding it like that.
I think I know the one.
That was a good photo, yeah. I got a good photo of a diver spinning and all the water coming off her. That was good. What else? Daniel Whiffen. Daniel Whiffen probably. Thought he was a great story, like coming out of the Summer Olympics. He had a great personality and stuff. Very good, like.
Do you know in the moment that you've got something? Or is it mostly you going back through saying, oh yeah, this is good?
I think you know, like, yeah, you definitely know. Like, you kind of get the feeling like I've got it, like. And that's where you get a wee buzz, like, you know.
I can imagine.
Like, yeah, it's like a wee buzz, like, whenever you get a really good photo, like, and you kind of know, right, I've got it, like.
That's nearly exactly what some of the Winter Olympic athletes that we've been interviewing were saying. We were chatting to Ben Lynch earlier on today and he was kind of saying, I knew instantly when I landed one specific trick on the half, like I knew instantly this was the best I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that it's nice to know that the Olympic spirit is kind of over everyone involved with it. How did you find the kind of, for lack of a better word, just the vibes of the experience with the volunteers and different people behind the scenes?
Like, really good, actually, yeah. Everyone was really friendly, to be fair. I've never been skiing before. Me and the video guy, Dave, we got a day where, like, we weren't really doing that much. It was, like, during the photo shoot, and we went, we tried out cross-country skiing.
Is it as tough as it sounds?
Yeah, I thought it looked really easy, but no, it's impossible, like. And I was wearing, like, all the Team Ireland gear. So everyone was, like, looking at me, like, what is this guy doing?
Like, they're like, we're definitely going to come better than them anyway.
Yeah. But no, like, even whenever I was on the slope, like, you know, doing that there, everyone's so friendly. It was like real chill kind of vibe, like, which is good, like.
Would you see a lot of people on skis? Because we might talk about drones in a second, but.
Yeah, the drones are interesting, yeah.
A lot of the footage you'd see as well, like, is that people going around just on skis with cameras and videos? Or is every kind of motion shot that we saw at the Winter Olympics, was that coming from a drone?
The drone, yeah. The drone, I don't think they have pilots. I think they're, like, it's AI programmed or whatever it is, like, yeah.
It's terrifying.
on the luge, you want to see it coming down the luge, like, and apparently it doesn't have a pilot. It's going, like, 100 kilometres an hour to see the drone just in front of them.
What was the consensus around, because I know a lot of people were a bit, like, some people are like, it's great that we can see, like, such a detailed view, but her complaints saying, like, it must be distracting for the athletes because it's so loud. Mm. Could you hear them a lot over?
Yeah, you could definitely hear them. Like, I did see a photo where a skier hit one.
Yeah.
That was bad crack, like. But yeah, I suppose they're just trying to get closer to get a super cool shot, like, but yeah, I don't know.
Like, from a photographer's perspective, like, what's your opinion on the drones? Because from our perspective, it on the television, it provides class. Such an interesting context that we never really saw before. Stuff like the luge or the skiing. Mm. But from a photographer's point of view, you know, do you like the drones?
I don't think it really gets in our way. Like, I think they're in a few photos, like, but generally it's not really in the way. Like, they have it kind of well done, like. So I don't mind them. Like, yeah, no, I think it's cool. It's good to see good shots, like, and if they can do it, like, it's class.
And I was going to ask, like, what a regular day in the life at the Winter Olympics was, but does it vary completely depending on what event you're covering, how high up the mountain you have to go?
Like, I got up and got, like, a croissant and a coffee if I could, like, And then just went straight to the venue, straight down there as early as possible, really, like, so we could kind of scope it out and see where to go and if I had to hike up and stuff. And like ski jump, I had to like keep, you know, you have to walk up. You have to walk up the ski jump, like, yeah. Like ladders.
You
like kind of.
Really?
Yeah. So you had to go up because that's where you kind of get the cool shot. Because they don't actually, what I thought ski jumping, I don't know if you thought this as well, like they actually went like real out into the sky. There's no way it's kind of filmed or the photos of it. They're kind of always in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they stay quite close to the actual drop.
Okay.
So you have to get like a position where you're kind of below them, but also up there. Do you know, it's a funny one. It's hard to work out like. So you have to really walk up the mountain, like, so I just knew, like, if I just got there early and try and do it that way, and then I had to plan, like, road trips and all these kind of things.
I'd love to see your step count on your phone from some of these days.
Yeah, I think it was, like, 25,000 pretty much every day. Oh. Yeah, so that was good. Like, I was burning off all the pizza anyway. Yeah.
And on average, how many pictures would you be taking versus, say, you came away from photographing Cormac and you had 4.
Yeah.
How many would you have taken that day?
I took, like, every athlete coming down. But because I was at one spot, like, I could only take, and because they're going so fast,
yeah,
I could only really get, like, a burst of, like, 10 photos, maybe.
Okay.
I had the camera on, like, 20 frames a second, which is class, like. But yeah, it was like, yeah, about 10 photos of each athlete. So it's really not that many. Like,
right.
Compared to like if you're at a football game or a rugby game, like you can come away easily with 1,000 or more. Like,
does that make it easier or harder then when you've got less?
You kind of feel like because you've only actually, say, put out 4 photos, you're kind of thinking like, but the work that you've put into getting that, you're kind of like, but people haven't really seen that. So you're like, I wonder, does everyone just think I'm being lazy here to take 4 photos? But like,
he flew over to Italy for a week and took 4 pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. But like cross country, I got a few more at that because they did a few laps.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way? But it's more, yeah, if they do laps, it's good because then you can kind of change. You can go, right, I'll get them here with the mountain. I'll try and get them here. But even that's quite hard because for some reason, even like athletics or anything like that, there, Ireland always seems to be like right in the middle of everyone. So you're like, you're trying to find the Irish person. You're like, where's the green? Where's the green? And then they're nearly gone past you. Like,
and what's it like to photograph with the snow all around? I've seen some of the pictures you had, like of people skiing up in the snow.
Yeah, it's cool.
Is like, it cool? Or does it make it really hard then?
No, it's really good, like, because it reflects the light. So it kind of lights everything up. So I thought it was class for pictures. The only thing, it was kind of sore on your eyes.
Okay.
So when you're like, because we were there so early, like at the alpine skiing, like you'd be waiting, say, 1.5, 2 hours. Like, my eyes were killing me, like, by then, because it was like reflecting up and I didn't have sunglasses or whatever the goggles are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, that was the only drop, but no, it was grand.
Was there any sport that you didn't get to photograph that you kind of wish you could have?
Speed skating.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do speed skating. I really wanted to do it. And we actually, when we did a photo shoot last year, like in March, and we had 2 speed skaters, and I was hyped up for it, like, and yeah, they didn't make it because the Winter Olympics is weird. Like, the qualification went up to like a week before, or like sometimes, like Elsa,
yeah,
she only fell out like 2 or 3 days before,
yeah.
So like the plans kept changing, which was really difficult. Like, so like that's why I was in Cortina, say, on that. So I got the curling and loose was because basically we thought Elsa would be there.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why we were there, but. Yeah, she didn't get in, but yeah, it just kept changing and stuff.
We saw some, obviously, with Lindsay Vonn. Did you see some fairly tough falls, like coming down the mountain, especially on the skis?
I saw a couple of falls, but like they seemed to just bounce up and they were okay. Like, really,
they're resilient.
Yeah, they were pretty good. They were grand. Like, I think the Lindsay Vonn, I don't know. Like, she had an AC, she had her ACL done. Like, it was a bit mad. Like, I thought, but. I didn't see any crazy falls. Like, I would have, like, I think there might have been like crashes on the loose. That would have been insane if there was any crashes on that. Like, but I didn't see any.
Yeah, would there be a moment then where you're almost like, should I be photographing this if something like that happens?
Nah, you definitely just go for it. Like, just get the photo, like, and then think about it after. But no, like, it sounds bad to say, but you're nearly hoping for something like that. It's nearly like, in GAA, you're kind of hoping for like a bit of a fight or something, you know, or you know, like
yeah. like scenes no one wants to see, but everyone wants to see.
Exactly. Yeah. You're kind of hoping for that from a photography point of view, really, like because it's just makes it more dramatic, doesn't it?
Absolutely. David, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope for the next Winter Olympics you get to cover the speed skating.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci, la France. Merci, les baguettes. Merci, les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.